Our scripture reading this morning comes from Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 7 through 18. Proverbs 3, 7 through 18. This is what the Word of God says. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You know, the things that matter in life, the things that money can't buy, those are the blessings of God. Peace of mind, contentment of heart, health, strength, and true prosperity. These things are the product of a life yielded to His Spirit and His Word. You know, when Jesus is first in your life, everything else is where it belongs to. And that includes the way you spend your money. Our message this morning, the title is, Let's Get Serious About Spending. I want to focus, as far as text goes, on the first part of verse 9. In the passage that I read, which says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth. I might ask the question, well, how do I honor the Lord with my wealth? How do I do that? Well, there are three ways you can do it. Number one, give it away. Number two, spend it wisely. Number three, save it faithfully. 2 weeks ago, we dealt with honoring the Lord through our giving. Talked specifically about tithes and the giving of offerings. If you didn't hear that message, it's available online, or there's a CD out on the table that you can pick up where you can listen to it. This morning, we're going to deal with wise spending. And next week, we're going to talk about faithful saving. So how can you honor the Lord through wise spending? Well, first, it's important that we remember that we spend more than just our treasure. We spend our time and our talent as well. Second, as your material wealth slips from your fingers, you can ask yourself this: does this expenditure, first of all, honor His name? Does this expenditure honor His name? Often when you read that in the Scripture talking about His name, you can substitute the word fame. How does it affect His fame? How does it affect His reputation? You know, we're Christians, and we are known by His name. The things we do or the things that we don't do, they affect His reputation. They affect the way people think about the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask ourselves, am I using the resources He has given me in a way that causes others to honor Him? That's an important question to ask. When you ask yourself, does this expenditure honor His name? That's really what you're asking. The Lord has given resources to us to use. And we ask ourselves, is that going to cause, is the way I'm using this money, this time, this talent, is that going to cause others to honor Christ. And you know, every single expenditure of time, talent, or treasure is a choice. It's a one-time opportunity to do it right. Because once it's spent, you don't have the opportunity again. The second question is this. Will this expenditure advance his cause? Will this expenditure advance his cause? You know, many of the things that we spend our money or our time or our talent on, they are helpful to our spiritual growth or to the spiritual growth of others. They are. Most expenditures are sort of ministry neutral. They really don't seem to have a whole lot to do with it. And some expenditures or other kinds of financial options are just not helpful to your spiritual growth or the spiritual growth of anyone else. When you think about his cause, we need to remember why Jesus came. What is his cause? First of all, he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek and to save the lost, to bring others to faith. When we spend our money in a way that enables others to come to faith, then we have advanced his cause. Jesus also came to destroy the works of the devil and the effects of those works. And so those are the things that we would have to consider, whether our expenditures are going to advance his cause. A third thing to think about, and I think about the way I spend my money, or you think about the way you spend your money, is this going to bless God's people? Now, giving to Christian causes is a way to bless God's people, but it's not the only way. We can buy our goods and services from Christian people, from Christian institutions, and that blesses God's people when we do that. We could avoid doing business with those people or institutions that work against the church and against the cause of Christ. And a lot of times, we don't think about our spending in those terms. But we can, and we probably should. I was thinking back in the old days, in the olden days, as my son likes to say, back in the olden days, we used to look for the tag on things that said, made in the USA. Well, now, you could save a lot of money by only buying things that say made in the USA. You can hardly find anything, you know, anymore that's made in the USA. Back in the old days, in the olden days, everything in Walmart was made in the USA. You remember that? Well, it's kind of the same way with the way we do our purchases, people that we deal with as we do business in the world. We can look for people that we know support the cause of Christ, that we know are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we can support them. You know, there are some stars in movies and TV that I just won't watch. I won't rent their movies. I won't go to the show and watch their movies, even though they may be good actors and actresses. And the reason is they openly speak against the cause of Christ. So I just don't support them. Or somebody else can pay the bills for them. And that's the sort of thing that you can do. Now, the point is not to be mean to unbelievers. The point is to bless our brothers and sisters. In a way, keep it in the family. We can do that. The next thing to think as I spend my money, is this expenditure, does it maintain my integrity? Does this expenditure maintain my integrity? I want you to think about the parable of the talents. I don't need to read all the parable of the talents. You know how it works. The Lord called some servants together. The master called some servants together, and he gave each one a certain sum and told them to take it out and put it to use. Well, some did, some didn't. Those who did were blessed, weren't they? Those who didn't, or the one who didn't, was not blessed. But here's the point. Servants are accountable. As servants, we are accountable for what we have done with what the master provided. That's the point. We're responsible for what we have done with what the master has provided. Now, does that only apply to those who have a lot? It didn't in the parable. Some got a lot, some got a little. And that's the way it is in life, isn't it? But whatever we have, we're responsible and accountable to the master who gave it to us for how we use it, for what we do with it. It's a question that I have to ask myself and you have to ask yourself. Am I comfortable to report the way I have spent my time and my talent and my treasure when the master returns? It's a big question, isn't it? And it has to do with spending. It has to do with the way we use the resources that we have. One of the things that comes up as we do the work of the church, comes up in the deacon business, it comes up in the scholarship committee business and all that sort of thing is, we have so much money in the bank. What should we do with it? When the Lord returns, is He going to say, all right, how much do you have in CDs? How much do you have in your bank account? Is that what the Lord's going to be looking for? How much have you people saved up? No. He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you to use? We have to be comfortable. We have to be able to be spiritually secure to make a report when the master comes back. Because the master is coming back. And he has called us to be ministers of the gospel. He's given us all the resources that we need. We may not recognize them all right now, but He has, if we use them. All right? And here's the last thing, the last question that I would pose or recommend to you as you think about spending. Does this expenditure demonstrate that I trust God? Does it demonstrate that I trust God? You know, people are afraid to spend whatever we're talking about, whether it's time, talent, or treasure. People are afraid to spend if they think their source might dry up. And that makes certain sense to the natural mind, doesn't it? If you have only so much water and it's got to last you for a long time, then you're very careful how you use it. You're probably not going to jump in the pool the first day and take a bath. You're going to dole it out over time and be very careful. Because you don't know if you're going to get any more. But you see, our source is God. We're seeking His direction and His counsel. And so, when I ask myself, does this demonstrate that I trust God? I'm asking myself, am I exercising faith or am I exercising fear? Am I afraid God won't provide any more? Or do I know that God has an unlimited supply and can provide whatever I need? You know, it's a great thing to look at individuals who have the gift of giving. You know, we're all called upon to give the tithe back to God, to give offerings to the church and to the Lord. But there are some people who have a special spiritual gift of giving. And these people are identified by the fact that they never claim ownership of anything. Everything that they have, they see as an opportunity to give for the glory of God. And you know what God does with people like that? He makes them successful and prosper in everything that they do. He uses them kind of as a conduit between Himself and the needs. And those people have the ability to give abundantly and freely. And it's an amazing thing to see because most of us don't think that way. Most of us don't act that way. But you see, that's the way it is when your source is God. And you know that your source is God. then he can use you in this kind of ministry. Let me go to the second point here, which is not very long. Why is this so important? Pastor, why are you taking up our time talking about this? Why is this so important? When we talked about giving, I told you the reason that I talk about this, obviously, the tithe has to come in for the church to exist. Offerings have to come in for ministries to grow. But the real reason that I talk about it is because this lets you participate in the economy of God. This is a means, this is a doorway through which God pours blessing into the lives of His people, through which He pours abundance into the lives of His people. And if I don't tell you about it, you miss out on all that blessing. So I have to tell you about it. So when I'm talking about spending, why is it so important? Well, let me share a passage with you. It comes from the Gospel according to Luke. It's in chapter 16, verse 11. And I think this ought to be underlined in every Bible in this sanctuary today. This is what it says. If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Who will trust you with true riches if you're not faithful in handling worldly wealth? You see, we grow up in a culture that teaches us that worldly wealth is true riches, that you live your life for the purpose of accumulating worldly wealth. But that's not God's economy. That's not the way God thinks about it. There are things far, far more important than gold. I've probably told this to you before. I got this from Steve Kirvin, so you no doubt have heard it before. But he talks about, you know, they say you can't take it with you. He talks about the guy that managed to get to the gates of heaven with a bag of gold. He took a little bit with him. St. Peter was standing there at the gate when he showed up. He let the guy in, but he said, "What'd you bring that paving material for? We got plenty of that." See, people can live their lives to accumulate things that don't have any eternal consequence, that don't really have any eternal purpose at all. That's a waste of time and talent, isn't it, to do that? Solomon talked about all of that stuff. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. He says that is chasing after the wind. It's spending your time and your talent and your treasure on something that ultimately, number one, you can't grab a hold of anyway. He's saying it's going to be worthless in the end. But there are things that have true value. To see your children come to faith. To see your grandchildren, your friends, your neighbors, the people that you care about, to see them come to faith. And to know that they are safe, not only today, but forever. That is value. People ask me the question, why, a lot. Pastors and parents get that question a lot. Why? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? So forth. That's the answer to the question. What we do because there are things that have eternal consequences, and we need to do these things so that our children and their children and their children after them will have opportunity to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust Him and to come to faith and to serve Him. That's why. See, money isn't really the thing that matters. Money is a tool that we can use in our attempt to follow after God. That right relationship that we can have with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that is what really matters. If you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who's going to trust you with the true riches? You see, it's kind of a meter by which we can look and see, well, how are we doing in our spirit? Where is our faith? How can we gauge? How can we tell? How can we know? God looks at the way we handle worldly wealth to see where we are. You know, one thing about the things that really matter, those things that have eternal value, those things that are really godly, is that they are never spent. We're talking about spending. The whole meaning of the word is using something up. That's what spending is. When something is spent, it's gone forever. But you see, the true riches are never spent because they are eternal. Lord, I just pray for each one of us here today. Lord, I just pray that each one of us would be able to embrace this truth. Because I believe, Lord, that it is your way for us to be blessed, for us to be fulfilled in this life, for us to be not only happy in ourselves, but honoring to you. This is the way we honor God. This is the way we honor you with the things that we have. And it's the purpose for which you have given them to us. Help us, Lord, to enjoy the benefits of what you provide. But help us to remember, Lord, that even in the midst of that enjoyment, Lord, we need to be honoring and glorifying you. So help us, Lord, to do that. Give us the wisdom, the understanding that it talks about in Proverbs. Give us that wisdom and understanding, Lord, that will enable us to use the things that you have given us in a way that brings you honor. Help us to be those kind of good stewards. And for that, we give you thanks, even now, in Jesus' name.